We continue in the Gospel of Luke, just following what Don read earlier in Luke chapter 2, and we pick it up at verse 8 and go through 21. Before we do that, let's again come before God in prayer. Lord, this is your word. We thank you that we have it. We thank you for the joyful good news that it brings to us. Help us to see things in a new light, and for things that we see again that we know so well, help us to delight in them and be encouraged and strengthened in our faith. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles as I read verses 8 through 21 of Luke 2. And just as before we get into this, it's going to talk about an angel of the Lord is going to appear to the shepherds. And we don't know what angel appeared to them. It's not mentioned. But just an interesting thing that as we look at trying to interpret Scripture, and we go back into the first chapter of Luke, and the first angel that comes in is to Zechariah, who is the father of John the Baptist. And it's because Zechariah doesn't believe what the angel says that the angel then identifies himself. I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of the Lord, of God. And then it says that an angel appeared to Mary. The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. So at that point, it is Luke, as the author of that gospel, and we believe divinely inspired, that identifies in the narrative that it's Gabriel. Now we come to this next appearance of an angel, and there's no mention of the name. So it either could be just another angel, or it could be this progression of Gabriel identifying himself, then identified by the narrator of the story, and then just simply assumed that it's this same angel who is proclaiming the good news. Now, in the end, it doesn't matter who it is, but I just want to bring that up for us as we think about things, as we're interpreting a passage. We can see there's sort of a movement that's in there. So, picking up at verse 8 in Luke 2, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Well, this Advent, we've been kind of using angels to look at the Christmas message. And here we have then the appearance of first one angel proclaiming something, and then a multitude of angels. And they're bringing this, I think, paramount proclamation, the greatest proclamation that there is. And in fact, it was the greatest proclamation to that date in all of history. It's an amazing thing to say, but I think that it is irrefutable. And this proclamation, we find, was for all the people. That in itself was an amazing thing, because it's coming to God's special people, the Jews. And even though things were proclaimed beforehand that God would bless all people through Abraham, God's people kept kind of to themselves, tight-knit. They were supposed to be God's storybook to the nation and proclaim God's great works. But as things happen, part of human nature is you begin to take that distinctive and you say that that favor upon us is a blessing just for us. So here is now this great proclamation. It says in verse 10 that it is good news of great joy for all the people. So it was for everyone, us Gentiles as well, but also the shepherds would have heard something very important for them. They were considered to be one of the lowest groups of people. There were others perhaps lower, those who had diseases, but the shepherds, they smelled. They had to cleanse themselves before they could go into the temple. And so they were looked upon in a not very good way. Here they receive this news that it's for all people, and they recognize the angel has come to us. And here they are out in the field keeping watch over their sheep. And the angels are proclaiming, and the pun is intended, there's now a level playing field, right? So everybody's on the same level. And, you know, there's no exclusive clubs. We still have exclusive clubs. Sometimes they're official clubs, sometimes they're the unofficial ones that you just know they exist. The angel is proclaiming, no exclusive clubs. This is something for everyone. And so it's fulfilling the promises of God, and this is something open to everyone. And that is really good news for us, something we need to delight in as Gentiles, that we're people that Paul would say, we're grafted into the vine of God's people. And so we come and we praise God. This is a paramount proclamation. It is a great proclamation, the greatest, because, wow, we get to receive it as well. And what exactly is this good news of great joy that they bring? I mean, just look at those words that the angel says, fear not, kind of a common thing. People saw an angel and they were afraid. Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy. It's good, it's great, and there's joy. It's incredible. So what is this proclamation? Because there's lots of proclamations that can be made. There are proclamations that don't bring good news. See, as people that were occupied by the Romans, that their lands, that they had proclamations coming to them all the time. Would have been the first proclamation saying, you belong to Rome now. And other proclamations, now you're going to be taxed. So there are proclamations that are not good news. Then there's proclamations that are mixed news. We have a lot of those. They're pronouncements, or maybe they become official pronouncements from the government. And they're mixed news because depending upon kind of where you fit on the political spectrum, some would say this is good and some would say that is bad. And right now, Congress has been dealing with issues of health care and taxes. You can't get much more controversial than that. And it's good news for some and bad news for others. So some proclamations are like that. Some are good proclamations, but not really complete. I think of Abraham Lincoln made two significant proclamations. One of them had to do with Thanksgiving, proclaiming it to be a great holiday. But it was great for some and not for others. And then he had the Emancipation Proclamation. Again, it was good, but it was incomplete. It was talking about the states that had seceded from the Union and that the slaves were freed from them, but there were some border states still part of the Union that it didn't apply to. So it was really incomplete. So there are some things that are very good, maybe on the surface, but when you start to look at them, you begin to go, is it really good? Is it complete? We also make proclamations in churches or in our families. You know, and those proclamations hopefully are good, but unless they're just based upon truth that is here, they're usually very incomplete. So this proclamation is good news. It is meant to bring great joy to us. And as a proclamation that brings good news, this is kind of evidence. It's the reason why in our tradition, the Reformed tradition, that when we come to worship, that reading God's word and then the proclaiming of it, that the message that is given, is why it's highlighted, it's central. It's because there is good news to be proclaimed. And so we come proclaiming good news each Sunday. So we have the best news being proclaimed, and here's what the angel says. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So the good news has this. Born to you today, there's the birth, is a Savior. And the Savior aspect, of course, points to the cross. We are saved from our sins because of what Jesus did. Who is Christ the Lord? He is the Lord, and as the Lord, fully divine, and death has no hold on him, and so we have the resurrection. So we see in these words, really, a great message that they would not have understood at that time. We can look at it because we have that hindsight. We can look at it and say, right here proclaimed is the birth, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's an important thing for us to see. So, born, Savior, Lord. And this was done with the perfect timing of God. So Jesus, when he came into the world, was going to save sinners. It wasn't just an arbitrary time. In your bulletin, scripture passage is at the top. Says Paul, writing to the church at Galatia, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So here we have the fullness of time had come. God sent his Son to be born. To be born so that we could be saved and Jesus could rise from the dead, displaying who he was, fully divine, the Lord. And so he is reigning in heaven. Verse 21, the very end of this passage that we're doing today, it says that when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given to him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And the name Jesus means that the Lord God is salvation. So the very name of Jesus describes what he's all about. So here we have this good news of great joy, and it's about grace that is being displayed to us through Jesus. This proclamation, because it is the greatest proclamation that had ever been made, was accompanied with something that, again, is just unique and one of the greatest things to accompany a proclamation, and that is this multitude of heavenly host. So we're envisioning here thousands of angels as they are reflecting the glory of God. They are proclaiming the glory of God and praising God, saying glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. So this is big. And these lowly shepherds get to see this. And it's amazing for them. But notice what they say. And we usually envision them singing it. They could have. It says that they were saying this. But it says, glory to God in the highest. It is radically God-focused. Even when it says, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. It is God's choice to please those whom he does please. It is radically God-focused. We live in a culture, and I mean, it's every time. It isn't just our culture now, but it's human nature to be focused on ourselves. And when we think about God, a lot of people, it's more in terms of what God can do for me, which God does do for us. But we must remember that his goodness that he does to us is because he is glorious. And every good that he does glorifies him. And that's what it's all about. It's like when you're given a gift, which is more important, the gift or the giver? And the giver is. And we glorify God. So we're to be like these angels, to be radically God-centered in receiving God's grace and just proclaiming that. It's all about God. It's all about God's glory. God is infinitely glorious, infinitely good, and we want to proclaim that. One of the reasons I just want to have our focus be on that is it just does seem to me that in our culture, that we can see it within our lifetime, the shift of Christmas, moving more and more away from Jesus. And even this year, you know, Hallmark has been putting out some Christmas movies for, I don't know how long, at least a decade. And at first they just had a few of them, but this year they just added in, I don't know, it's like 15 or 20 new movies. And I've just seen little bits and pieces of a few of them. But they have just continued to move further and further and further away from what Christmas is really about. And that's the message that is getting out to our culture. We have the privilege of a different message and to share that. And that leads us into that this proclamation by the angels was awaiting a response. And the shepherds, they gave a wonderful response. They did not disappoint. Because as soon as the angels left, they said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So the first thing they do is go. So that's true for us too. The good news, what is the good news meant for? It's meant for us not just to keep it contained for ourselves or even contained within the church walls. It's meant for us to go, take it to others, take it out. So that's the first thing, they go. Then they share it. Verse 17 says that when they saw Jesus and the sign that was given to them, they made known the saying that had been told them. So we're making known what we know. And we know this story pretty well. So we make it known. And then it says, all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. They wondered. They marveled. They pondered over. They began to question, what does this mean? What are the implications of this? So they were wondering about this, this great wonder that was in their midst. And so we too are to marvel and wonder and delight in this. And then Mary, in verse 19, it says, Mary treasured these things in her heart. She'd just given birth to Jesus. Then she's told about the announcement that came to the shepherds. She knew about the announcement that came to her and that had come to John, to Zechariah concerning John. And so now she gets this, and she's just treasuring these things as a mother, as someone who loves God. As someone who loves God, we come and we treasure these things. We look at the Christmas story and we see in it the depth of what God is doing. We see the grace of God that is brought into the world in an amazing way, proclaimed in a fantastic way, and we treasure this. It means we delight, fills us with great joy. And then it says in verse 20, the shepherds return. They're going back to their flocks in the field. And it says, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. To glorify, to praise God. Coming back to that radical God-centered message and what we're all about. We proclaim the birth of Jesus Christ, which includes his death and his resurrection. We proclaim a message of good news, brings great joy, it brings hope, it brings encouragement. It's about life. The world around us needs this message, not the Hallmark movies, not even the manger scenes that are typically seen because we want to complete the story of bringing all that Jesus did because of what it does for us. It gives us life, transforms us. And the angel said, I bring you good news of great joy that is for all the people. Let's pray. Lord, we pray that you would help us treasure and delight in your truth that is found here of the birth of Jesus, his death and resurrection. We ask that you would help us to be bold in going and proclaiming and marveling over all that you do. May you be glorified in and through us this Christmas season. May you use us as instruments to touch the lives of people around us, to give hope. These things we pray in the name of Jesus, amen.